Our sermon text today comes from Micah, the prophet Micah, verses 1 and 5 from chapter 4, and that you can find on page 913 in the Pew Bible. Micah 4, we'll read verses 1 through 5. Hear God's word. Micah 4, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Amen. 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 You may be seated. And now would you please pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you. We're grateful, Lord, that you have given us your word. And we're grateful for this invitation to come to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God. And so bless our being in your house, bless our being in your presence. We pray that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit, and that we would learn about your Son and the way of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In our passage, we have an invitation to come to the mountain of the Lord. And if you've done any study on the term mountain of the Lord, it's something that begins in Genesis and it ends in Revelation. And so we find in Genesis that Abraham was encouraged to make a sacrifice on the mountain of the Lord, Mount Moriah. He didn't end up making that sacrifice. And so he did not sacrifice Isaac, and instead, in his place, sacrificed a ram. And but in that, God commended Abraham in being willing to sacrifice his son, his only son, pointing ahead to a sacrifice that would happen on Mount Moriah 2,000 years later when Jesus Christ was sacrificed there. God did sacrifice his only begotten Son so that we could be saved from wrath. Amen. And so we have this idea of the mountain of the Lord. We're invited to the mountain of the Lord, to the place where God comes and is present with his people. We see the mountain of God also in Exodus, where Moses is on the mountain of God, and he sees a bush that's on fire, and it is not consumed. And it's an amazing sight. And he goes aside to look at it. And the Lord says to him, take off your shoes because you are on holy ground. And so Moses was in the presence of the mountain of God. And God says, I'm going to use you to call your people out of Egypt. And this will be a sign to you that one day they will come here and worship at this mountain. And so eventually the people do come and mount and worship God at that Mount Sinai. And then, as the people are traveling through the wilderness, they can't take the mountain with them, but in a sense, they do take it with them in that they have a tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, there is a a candle, a light stand that points to that flaming fire of the mountain of the Lord. And so in a sense, the tabernacle is a portable mountain of God. And then later on, Solomon builds the temple on Mount Moriah, and there's the temple in Zion that points to the place where God meets with God's people. And then in Revelation 21:10, there is a great and high mountain, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And so instead of us going up to the mountain of God, the mountain of God comes down to God's people in Revelation 21. And so in our passage, we have an invitation to come to the mountain of God. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 are almost verbatim of our passage in Micah. And so it says, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so I want to encourage you to come to the mountain of God and walk in his ways. Come to the mountain of God and walk in his ways. The first way we walk in his ways is we learn to walk in his word. It says in verse 2, for out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What a blessing that God has given us his word. And as we studied in Sunday school, that God gives us his word in a language that we can understand. And if it isn't in your language yet, we pray that God provides that translation. And as the years go on, more and more languages have the word of God translated into those languages. Amen. So pray for that translation work. So we walk in his word. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says this, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. And that's the blessing of God's word. God's word provides us with guardrails. Just like when you're driving on a steep road or a narrow bridge, you're thankful that there are guardrails on the side so you don't go off the cliff or off the bridge. And so God's word is like those guardrails to keep us on the straight and narrow path that leads to God. Amen. And then Ezekiel 36:27, God makes a promise. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So what a blessing that God gives us his word, and he gives us his spirit to enable us to be obedient to his word. Thank God for that. And then Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's no condemnation for you, because the condemnation has already gone on the Lord Jesus instead of you. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We walk according to the Spirit that God has put in our hearts so that we can be obedient to walk in his word. Amen. And so, thank God we have the word of God. We have it in our own language. And so I urge you and encourage you to read it, to meditate on it, to delight in it, and to do it. Amen? Amen. The first psalm, Psalm number 1, is a meditation on the blessing that comes to those who are in God's word and where God's word is in them. So Psalm number 1, that's page 526 in the Pew Bible. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This is the idea of Christian meditation. We don't empty our minds when we meditate. We fill our minds and fill our minds with the word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What will he be like? He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. So read God's word, meditate on it, delight in it, do it, bear the fruit of it. Amen. So we walk in his word. We also walk in his peace. In verses 3 and 4, it says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, but everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. And so there's this idea of peace and universal peace. It's interesting that United Nations picked up on this verse, and they use it as a kind of motto, but the part that they leave out is that they learn the ways of God and walk in his word. And so for them to have the peace, they need to have the instruction of God's word. Amen. But the truth is that as we are in God's word, he will bring peace. and will bring the world to a place without war. Can you imagine if everyone in the world trusted in Christ and followed his word? Then there would be peace, and there would be every reason to repurpose swords, to hammer them into plowshares. In other words, a sword is used for war instead of warfare. There would be cultivation of crops, and so and then same with spears. Spears are for killing people. Pruning hooks are for increasing the fruitfulness of your vines or your trees. And so we see that there is this transformation from pillage to tillage, from devastation to cultivation, from destruction to construction. And Lord knows we need that in this world, in this day and age. And so we pray that the gospel would go forth and that more and more people would trust in Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And it says, everyone shall sit under his vine and fig tree. And in the ancient Mideast, to sit under your vine and fig tree is a picture of peace and being able to be home and to be to not be bothered by anybody, and to be able to share the fruitfulness of the land. And so to sit under the vine and fig tree, that's a good thing. And so God is putting that forward as a blessing. The shalom, the peace, will be so great. Micah uses the Old Testament language of peace and prosperity. Everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. And so we walk in his peace. We walk in his word. We also walk without fear. Verse 4 says, no one shall make them afraid. And I think the reason that they're not afraid is because they have the fear of God. And when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Oswald Chambers said that. I think he's right. Ezekiel 34:28 tells of this future blessedness. They shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. And then in Isaiah 11, we heard about the time when the wolf will lay down with the lamb, and then the lion and the ox will graze together. No one will harm or hurt on my holy mountain. And so again, the holy mountain of God is the place where there is peace and we can walk without fear. Then there are a couple other verses. Isaiah 41:10. Maybe some of you know Isaiah 41:10 from memory. If you don't, that would be a good one to memorize, especially if you struggle with fear. Isaiah 40, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. What a great promise for God and great reasons not to fear. And then there's also Isaiah 54:14. Isaiah 54:14 says, In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Amen. What a great promise. And so we don't need to fear because God is with us. And he encourages us, do not be afraid. Amen. Matthew Henry said this, when true religion flourishes, men delight in going up to the house of the Lord and in urging others to accompany them. And so our passage has that wonderful invitation. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. And so I urge you, come to the mountain of the Lord and walk in his ways, walk in his word, walk in his peace, and walk without fear. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you that you are God, and you are God who wants to be known among his people, and you invite us to come up to your mountain. And then we also have the promise of your mountain coming down to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus, and through the good news of salvation in his name. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life and then to offer himself as a perfect sacrifice to take away our sins. He was offered up on that Mount Moriah, the only begotten Son of God, given up, sacrificed for us, so that we could be adopted as your sons and your daughters in him. And so thank you, Lord, for this grace. We pray, Lord, that you would give us grace to repent, to turn away from sin, turn away from not being obedient to your word and to your law, and that we would trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for his sacrifice, and thank you for his rising again from the dead so that we too could rise and walk in new life. And so give us this blessing of faith and repentance in your Son, Jesus, and help us to walk with you, to walk in your ways, to walk in your word, and walk in peace, and walk without fear. Thank you, Lord, for these blessings. Pray that you would write this word in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.